morning, I was standing in my kitchen. I felt this state of emptiness and hopelessness like I'd never felt before. I had alienated myself from my family, all my friends. So I was at the point of isolation. I was at this place where it was very dark. And I just realized, you know, I wanted to come home. And I didn't know how.
You're listening to Jeff Rice. And this is Sentinel Watch. I'm Rita Politan. Well, Jeff, why don't you take us back to the beginning and tell us how this all started?
On and off, I had been struggling with drug addiction for over 18 years. And it was a kind of a back and forth thing. You know, I would stop for a while and then start back up again. I was diagnosed bipolar and in and out of treatment centers. You know, they were, you know, trying to find something to do with me.
What kind of drugs are we talking about?
Crack cocaine, alcohol, marijuana, cigarettes, and cocaine used intravenously through needles. Drugs were my solution for everything, for every kind of feeling that would come. Whether it would be, you know, elation or happiness about something, or whether, you know, I'd be sad or disappointed about something, I would take something.
Well, what did you do about it then?
Well, this is really where it all begins. One morning, I was standing in my kitchen, and I had been awake for about 7 days. And I remember watching the sun come up. And the thought came to me, you're doing it again. How long are you going to keep doing this? I felt this state of emptiness and hopelessness like I'd never felt before. I had alienated myself from my family, all my friends. So I was at the point of isolation. I was at this place where it was very dark. And I just realized, you know, I wanted to come home. And I didn't know how. That state of hopelessness, and I like to call it the gift of desperation. And I had been out of touch with prayer and God. I was in a place where, like, okay, if there is a God, that was my only conception of God at the time. But I remembered this. This came to me. This warmth came to me, and this thought came, I can pray. And as unfamiliar as that was to me, as that seemed at the time, just because of the state of thought that I was in, I went back into my bedroom, and I got down on my knees, and I said, if there is a God, please help me. I can't do this. I don't know any way out. And I am placing the entire outcome of this situation in your hands. And it wasn't so much the words that I said, but it was the earnestness in my heart, the feeling that, like, I was lost and I wanted to come home. And at that point, I had just completely surrendered for the first time in my life ever. And I look back now, and my whole life had been run by self-propulsion entirely. And at that moment was the first time of surrender. Shortly after that, I got picked up by the police, and they wound up taking me to jail. I then began to realize that my prayers had been answered. I saw for the first time that I was placed in a position of safety. I started to begin to feel safe. The clarity began to come that there was something else moving in my life and that, you know, a change was occurring. Up to that point, I had lost everything. I had a business, a home, and, you know, all these things. I mean, I had lost everything this time. And I realized it was at the point of losing everything was I able to see that the only thing that there was ever to depend on was God. Mm-hmm. That God was the only possibility. And so as time went on, they did tests on me and stuff when I was there, and I discovered that I had hepatitis C from intravenous drug use and sharing of needles. You know, that really scared me a lot at the time. And I remember calling my Aunt Phyllis. I was raised in Christian Science, and she's a Christian Scientist. She had been keeping in touch with me when I was in jail, and I told her about this. And I remember her saying something to me along the lines of, you know, God did not give that to you, so you do not have it. And I remember walking away with the thought, with a very clear thought that God is my maker, and this image that I seem to have made of myself is not true. That was the thought I walked away with. And so as time went on, they moved me to another jail. And I had to go through a whole another series of tests. And interestingly enough, the hepatitis C had disappeared.
You were completely healed of the hepatitis C then?
Yes, when I was in jail.
And it was really that momentary recognition of your pure spiritual nature as the child of God.
Yes, exactly. And even at that time, I look back now, Rita, and even at that time, I still wasn't necessarily sure of that. Mm-hmm. You know, that thought was just laying into my consciousness, and I was just accepting it, even though there were a lot of other voices saying, oh, I don't know about that. There were still the doubts. There were still the fears.
But it sounded like your aunt was pretty sure of it.
Oh, she was absolutely positive of it. Mm-hmm. It gets even better. I had the doctors come visit me. They said that when I came in for intake, they had mentioned that I was on bipolar medication. And I remember that conversation very vividly because they had asked me if I wanted to get back on the medication. And I told them that using drugs was no longer needed to solve whatever problem it was I had mentally. That was no longer a solution for me anymore. It was no longer an option. And right then, any belief about being bipolar or manic depressive totally vanished that day. In fact, I totally forgot about it completely. Boy, I tell you, that was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I got out of jail, and I was moving from place to place. And I was having some trouble with my personal relationships. And I had a friend of mine I became close with while I was in jail. He was writing to me, and I remember calling him every time something would come up. I remember he gently said to me, Jeff, he says, if your success in your life had anything to do with other people, and other people could actually prevent you, there would not be a chance for success or hope. He said, it probably very much has to do with the way you're thinking about things and your perception of it.
How did you feel about that when he said that?
Well, first there was a little bit of balking going on in my thought, like, how could that be? But also started to see the hopelessness of trying to control my surroundings. Mm-hmm. And he would gently bring me back to that every time I would talk to him. And I began to see that it wasn't the things in my life. It wasn't the people. It wasn't my surroundings. It was the way I was reacting to my life. And clearly, I started to see it was my fears, it was my anger, it was my guilt. It was all those things that were causing me to react. You know, fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity, that whole self thing was going on. But I could see it. For the first time, I could actually see it. And it reminds me of something in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. It's on page 252, line 7. She says, when false human beliefs learn even a little of their own falsity, they begin to disappear. And she goes on to say, a knowledge of error and of its operations must precede that understanding of truth which destroys error until the entire mortal material error finally disappears and the eternal verity, man created by and of spirit, is understood and recognized as the true likeness of his maker. So this time period was crucial for me. I began to see the error of my ways, and I actually started correcting that. Also, I was on my knees every morning, just continuing to place my life in God's hands. Just continuing to do that. The whole outcome of my day, I just continued to place that in God's hands. And I was doing that every moment. And there was one thing that came to my thought often. It was from the Bible. Not my will, but thine be done. That was a constant prayer for me. And that was just coming to my thought.
And you were then feeling this really had practical results.
Yes. I remember one day in particular where it really began to stand out to me. I was standing outside of a breakfast diner one morning, and I was thinking about God, and I had a moment of what you would call enlightenment. And suddenly, my eyesight got brighter. Just everything, never before had I seen things in that brightness. And it never went away. To this day, I still am seeing that clearly. And then 4 days later, I was talking with a friend about helping others. And all of a sudden, Rita, I was sitting there, and the thought came really clear to me. It's all true. In that moment, every doubt, every suspicion that I ever had, every skepticism that would come in about God and everything just had vanished. It was like somebody lifted the curtain. Mm. All in that one moment, I realized, I mean, it was just so much information all at one time. I realized that life was not a dead end. And my purpose was to be of service to God and to mankind all in one moment. In those few words, it's all true. All that came. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget it because from that day forward, I began to feel this love in my heart for mankind. And this began the real healing of drug addiction. I remember up to this point, I had been a tree trimmer, which was an arborist for 20 years. And I had gone to this automotive store. There were these automotive socket wrenches. I used to use them as drug paraphernalia. And in that store in particular, I had gone in there and shoplifted a whole bunch of those. And there was this feeling of like the craving was starting to come back to me. And all of a sudden, the thought came to me, I should probably pay for those things that I stole from the store. And in spite of my fear of the consequences, I paid for them right then and there. And the obsession, the craving never came back. I never had another craving again.
And that's after how long doing drugs?
18 years.
What happened from that moment forward?
I remember calling my Aunt Phyllis up and talking to her about what was going on with me. And she said, how would you like to have lunch? I said, sure, yeah, that would be great. We went to a steak place and we had lunch and we started talking about prayer and started talking about the things that were going on with me. I shared with her my experience, and she said, I brought something for you. And she reached down into her purse and handed me a Science and Health, and it was my grandmother's Science and Health. And it was a very emotional moment. But I knew that was the solution. I knew that's what I came there for that day. And I went home, closed all the doors, and I just got really quiet, and I flipped open the Science and Health, and the first thing that my eyes fell upon was this verse. It's on page 4, line 12, and it says, the habitual struggle to be always good is unceasing prayer. And that really resonated with me because it confirmed everything that I was doing.
You were struggling to be good.
Yes.
That was the only habit that you could have.
Yes. And I remember feeling like I wanted to share this with everybody. And I did start doing that. I probably scared a few people, but I just couldn't help myself. I heard comments from people, oh, there's that guy again. You know, he's going to start talking about God. And I was on fire. And, you know, at that point in time, like, people started showing up to be helped. You know, people that had known me before, they just seen such a profound change in me that, hey, you couldn't deny it.
After you had that moment where all your doubts about God went away, you started to see your inseparable nature from God.
Exactly, Rita. It was exactly that. And I felt a desire to learn more. All I wanted to do was learn more about God and to be of maximum service to God and mankind. So I immediately started looking around for a Christian Science teacher, someone that could, you know, educate me a little further in this. And I had class instruction. And, boy, I tell you, that was wonderful. you know, it was just 12 days of solid learning. And, I mean, it fed me in such a way that when I came out of there, when I got home, like, all I could think about was Christian Science, healing. And one day, as I was riding up the road, I pulled into a road that was of an older neighborhood that I used to go and purchase drugs in. And as I was coming through there, I was thinking about the past, and I was also thinking about where I am now. And that brings me back to that passage earlier, the habitual struggle to be always good.
Mm-hmm.
That sentence really had come to fruition for me, and I realized that I always was good. That was the realization of that, that my every struggle was the expression of the fact that I was always good. And any kind of past, any kind of flood of yesterdays that would try to come back and tell me this is who you were, had no power over me anymore.
So it was kind of like Paul in the Bible found that once you see who you truly are in your spiritual identity, you just completely transformed.
Yes.
That's really powerful. And so then there's nothing from that time that can touch you at all.
The whole pile of human mockeries disappeared. Bipolar, drug addiction, hepatitis C, alcohol, marijuana, even cigarette smoking, all dropped away. And I could clearly see, and this is kind of the underlying truth of it all, that behind every person, there was this wonderful intelligence, that there was one thing going on.
Uh-huh.
It was God. It was Christ. And I'm happily married. My wife has two children, and in the past couple of years, I've had two more. And, you know, this new life that I have, this is something that really I couldn't imagine living any other way. You know, God will always meet you right where you are. It doesn't matter what you've done, that God will meet you right where you are and will walk with you every step of the way. Now, he promises that in the Bible, and, you know, there's many promises of that in science and health as well. With God, all things are possible.
Well, Jeff, thanks so much for being with us today and sharing your discovery of God.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
I've been speaking with Jeff Rice from Ocean View, Delaware, and you've been listening to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Rita Politan.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.